Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 173, the conclusion, part two, who is willing to go? Today is Sunday, November 14th, 2010. Happy birthday, Pastor Paul. Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. I'm your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from spirited North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA, and I'm sitting in the rabbi's office right now at Disciples Ministries' historic Mikra Kodesh Synagogue at 1000 Oliver Avenue in North Minneapolis. Right now, I can hear some bags rustling. We are filling them with food. If you need food and you live in North Minneapolis, you live in South Minneapolis, you live in East Minneapolis, West Minneapolis, you live in the state of Minnesota, come to Pastor Paul's and register your household for monthly groceries. If you're living in a household of two or more, or you are a senior, 60 years and older, or disabled with proof, maybe you're a veteran, come call us at 612-521-4665 Monday through Friday between 1 and 3 p.m. and get your household registered for groceries. We have got a lot of food and we have a lot to give away, so don't be shy. Give us a call. And for those of you who are not in Minnesota and you're listening to this podcast, be sure to join our online community. A lot will be happening there in the future, but for right now, just go to the top of the homepage. You're going to find interactive links to Pastor Paul's blog, Flickr, the podcast, Life Vantage, and YouTube. And don't forget Twitter. Sounds little, but it's big. Twitter. Follow the Twitter Rumble, generally on Thursday, where I do live tweets when I'm actually recording Pastor Paul's messages. So don't forget Twitter Rumble on. Why do we call it the Twitter Rumble on Thursday? Why? Because we're in the middle of a rumble. Can you hear that phone ringing? All right, we're already getting calls for Pastor Paul's. People want to register, but call back at 1 o'clock. You can also go to Pastor Paul's blog. You can leave a comment, ask a question, make a suggestion, give a testimony. If you want to do all that at the blog, go ahead. We'll be interested in reading it. You can also email me, but I wouldn't. I've got way too many emails. Better yet, just call me on the phone, 612-521-4665. I'd love to hear your voice. Okay, don't send me an email. Call me on the phone. Or start a podcast. It's fun. All right. Hey, I am psyched. I'm in the rabbi's office. How can't you be excited about that? Speaking of the rabbi, also scripture links within Pastor Paul's messages. Be sure to check those out. Now, this is the November introduction. I almost forgot. This is the November introduction. Let me get my tapes. Hang on a minute. I'm in the rabbi's office at the rabbi's desk. I'm taking over, people. Okay, here we go. Hang on. I have to take the rubber band off of all these tapes I have for the month of November. Okay, and you know, if you come to the podcast, you know, you can just actually go through this message. You don't have to listen to the whole thing. Okay, but here it is. Who is willing to go? That's next week's message. Learning to be content. Oh, learning to be content. I've been going to so many things, talking and listening about content. I get the two mixed up sometimes. Be content or be content. Well, I guess that's what we are right now. We're being content. Okay. We that know the Lord. I wonder if there's some we that know the Lord. Okay, well, that's the next one. Whatever happened to the will of God for now? Okay, I'm kind of thinking on all of these. Let me go back again. You know, I am kind of a slow reader, but I'm trying to I'm trying to kind of take this in. Okay, let me try it again. Now, keep in mind, this is not a radio broadcast. It's a podcast. Okay, so I don't have to do a perfect job. All right, here we go. This is the November announcement. I'm your hostess for the mostess. I already said that. Okay, who is willing to go? That's a good one. I know that's going to be good. Who is willing to go? I am. Okay, I know you're holding up your hands right now. The next one, learning to be content. That I know is going to be a good one because that is hard for all of us, especially me. Learning to be content, not content. We that know the Lord. Now that one, we that know the Lord. I get it. We that know the Lord. Okay. Whatever happened to the will of God for now? Okay. Those are them. Those are November's podcast coming up. And be sure to listen both on Friday night and on Sunday. We're kind of doing the same thing that we did with Pastor Paul in church. You know, every Friday night we came in and listened to a message that was always so cool because it was at night and we came in and listened. There usually weren't hardly any people here, very few people, the die-hard people that wanted to hear the message. Okay, so you've got to hear that. That is part one. Part two is on Sunday. A lot more people come on Sunday. You know, everybody kind of goes to Sunday school, the church thing. But I want you, my die-hard podcast listeners, I want you to listen to part one on Friday and part two on Sunday. Promise me. Scout's honor. God bless you. Have a great month of November. Have an excellent Thanksgiving. And if you need food, give us a call. Bye.
Has your heart fixed? Are you willing to go? Are you, no, a heart made willing. See, it isn't a question that you have. Are you willing to go? Who's willing to go? Did you ever call for in the service? He used to call, volunteers! Did everybody go, Did you ever ask the kids, who wants to wash the dishes? But every once in a while, there's a little person that will come up, can I wash the dishes? They're willing. Oh God, I know that God is going to raise up people that will be willing. Just like he raised me up. And you know, people think I'm nuts. Well, I am crazy. Praise God. Keep coming here and you'll get as nuts as I am. Say amen. And you listening on the radio, keep listening. They'll put you in the ward. You know what I mean? But you'll be happy. It says in the Bible, be a fool for Christ's sake. That's exactly what I have been down here on the north side. A fool for Christ's sake. I have been made to look foolish. Say amen, somebody. Very, very foolish. But I'll tell you something. It's worth it because my heart is fixed on doing this job. Say amen, somebody. And your heart, sister, is fixed on doing this job, isn't it? Huh? Well, once in a while, you felt like, oh, gee, I don't want to do this or that. But you couldn't get out of it. Why? God had made you willing. And when God makes you willing, there's nothing you can do about it. You just find yourself down there doing, why am I keep doing this? Why do I keep doing this? God has made you willing. God has made me willing. God has made you willing. It's nothing you can gripe about. You just, I don't know why am I going this way towards the mission? God has made you willing. Why am I down here making this nacho hot dish at 4 o'clock in the morning? God has made me willing. You know, this is really something, Marge. Here I am, I told my dad, I'm Greek, I told my dad, I says, Dad, I'm never going to be in the cafe business. We got one of the biggest cafes in Minneapolis, whole 600 people down there, full. And what am I doing? Making nacho hot dish at 4 o'clock in the morning. Now I know Dad is one of those cloud of witnesses that's watching me right now. My gosh, he makes a pretty good cook. Chip off the old block. And here we are. Did you ever think that you'd see me up preaching? Of course not. Never thought I'd see you sitting down there listening to me either. But here we are. Because you know why we're here, Marge? God has made us willing. He's made me willing. A lot of times I'm not willing. I am not willing. But I've been made willing. And there's nothing I can do about it. Nothing. I wasn't willing. In fact, I wasn't even willing to come in here tonight. Tell you the truth about it. So, gee, I just don't feel like I'm too willing. I ain't got nothing to do with that. You've been made willing. Get up there. You mean that you have those days when you're not willing? Oh, the flesh is not willing. The flesh is never willing. Is it? No, the flesh isn't willing. But the Spirit is. The Spirit is willing. And there's something inside me that's so willing to do this work down here that I can't even get out of here. I've tried to escape out of here several times. I did. I'm about 15 minutes in an airplane. Oh, God, let me out of here. I've tried to pull the buzzer so I can get out, you know what I mean? But you're, you know, several thousand feet above the earth. One time I even ran away. I went to California. I was there for 4 or 5 days. I didn't sleep. I was walking around like a zombie. God, give me a word. You know what he told me once while I was walking around like this? Go to bed. I didn't listen. I thought, oh, that's the devil. But finally, about on the fourth day, the Lord told me, he says, go back and face your Jerusalem. I says, where is that? He said, Minneapolis. And there's a cross there for you. And here I am. And here you are. And we're at the very tip of the very tip of the very end age right here. The return of Jesus Christ is right around the corner. And the willingness that I had has become fanatical. The thought of someone jerking me away from this work or being torn from this work down here crushes me. Are you hearing what I'm saying? There's nowhere else that I'd want to be than right down here at 1000 Oliver Avenue North. Because God has made me willing to stay right down here. And you know something? Some of these works, I've been down here 7 years, and it goes mighty slow. It goes so slow that when I came down here, there were kids that were 3 years old that are 10 now. And kids that were 10 years old that are 17 now. And kids that were 17 that are 24 now. And slowly, we're seeing changed lives. Why is that? Because God says if you're willing to stay there, having done all, stand in that situation and stay right there, having done all, stand right there. See, it might take a whole generation. You might die where you're at. And that's all right if God has made you willing and given you a job right there. Who knows what's happened down here in these 7 years? Who knows what's happened down here? My God, a lot has happened down here. Several thousand people have come to know Jesus Christ, and this church down here on this north side has been a witness and a beacon. I'll tell you something. It has turned lives around. It has changed ministries all over the place, and people are watching us something fierce. Man, they are watching every single move that we make. Are you hearing this, people? They are watching. Well, to that I say, keep on watching because you ain't seen nothing yet. That's what I got to say about it. And also got to say, people, when you got people watching you, that gives them something to do. My God, it keeps them busy and keeps them out of trouble. Say amen, somebody. So, no, I just said one night, I said, I wonder what people would talk about if I dropped dead. Man, that would just kill conversation all over the place. Say amen. So what would you do with your mouth? Well, you'd have to put it in mothballs until some other nut like me came along, see, and provoke people onto good works and doing things, just actually doing something. God, how the Christian world hates that word do. We'd rather just have a word, you know, like, well, okay, give me a word. You don't want to do a work. A lot of times we want a word from somebody. We want somebody to lay their hands on us and give us a word. Brother Paul, like, calls coming. Will you give me a word? Yeah, read your Bible, pray and fast, and get right with God. Come on down, do something. Well, they never come down. But at least I'm not bogged down by a whole bunch of people that want a word. See, the word is, do the work of the Lord. Where were you as sick and in prison and widow? Where were you when there was a need? Where were you? Well, we didn't know you were any of these things, Lord. Well, I have to tell you, if you've done it, the least of mine, you've done it to me. Jesus is going to ask each one of us that question in that final hour. What were you doing with your mouth? Were you praising God? Or were you tearing down a work? Where were you when I was sick? Where were you when I was in prison? And where were you when I was a widow? Where were you? Oh, we were sitting over at the Pannekoeken, and we were over there talking and stuff and having fellowship. As you can see, I've stopped going to the Pannekoeken. Say amen, somebody. Remember me? I was big as a horse. I ain't kidding you. I go out to the farm, they throw a saddle on me every time. I stopped going to the Pannekoeken. I stopped going to Perkins. I stopped sitting around, because when Christians start to sit around great big groups like that, you know what I mean? They get evil. Say amen, somebody. They run out of conversation. They start using Scripture against each other. But it also says in so-and-so verse, oh yes, but it says in so-and-so verse, and furthermore, and even have P.S.'s to their prophecies. Are you hearing this? How many heard this message tonight? Oh, pray that God would make you willing. Oh, if I was much more willing, I wouldn't even be here. Say amen, somebody. I am really willing. And you know what? Situations have made me more willing. I don't understand it. The harder it gets, the more willing I am. Brothers and sisters, it's really hard right now, too. But I'm more willing. Isn't that weird? Isn't it?
Well, why don't you just take a guy told me the other day, he said, why don't you take a break? Why don't you, take a vacation? I said, I'd go nuts on a vacation.
Huh? Take a vacation? That'd be like being in the middle of the battle. Taking a vacation. Where are you going? Oh, I'm going to take a little vac. It isn't time for vacationing right now. It isn't a time for idle conversation. It isn't time for vain discussions about the Word of God. It's time to be made willing in this time right now. Be made willing to, having done all, stand and to stay in this work. And you know these little kids that come in here. My God, there's changed lives happening right now. I love it. My little people. Man, I love to be out there waiting on tables, and my little people. They're out there, they're hanging on my legs and crawling all over me. I thought, well, praise God. Well, I'm glad that older people don't do that, because I couldn't hold them, you know what I mean? Especially those Pannekoeken freaks. But I mean, you know. I want to hear it now. You got to have a little humor in your ministry when you come on like this. Say amen, somebody. You got to have some kind of humor when you get into messages like this. It's naturally kill everybody, fall on the floor and fall off the mouth and die. Mother. Huh? Well, Marge and myself are willing. And my brother in California is willing. And my sister Connie in California is willing. And my mother and father that passed away, they both were willing. See, and that's all God wants is willing people. But you cannot become willing by yourself. You have to be made that way. Yeah, don't take credit that you're a willing worker. God has made you that way. God has made me willing, and sometimes I even grit my teeth, stomp my feet, and shout and get nasty, but I still have to do it because God has made me willing. See, there's nothing you can boast in. Not a thing. You can't boast in nothing. You can't boast in your salvation. God is the one that foreordained it. You can't boast in your good works. God is the one that, before the foundation of the world, had even worked out your works for you. Well, you say, but I have a free will. It's free. There's a rope on you, though. There's a rope, and you can go around in a circle. And that's all you can do. You can go in a 100-mile circle, let's say. It's a 100-mile rope, and all you can do is walk around in a big circle. And sometimes you can slack and walk back towards the Lord and go off on these little sidelets and so on like that. But there's a rope on you? You know what I mean? You go too far and you go back, and then you get lax again. You go over this way, and people go out and they get into kind of sins and things like that and so on like that. But there's a rope on them. Now, the legalists don't want to hear that. Oh, no. No. No, there's a rope on you. None will get out of his hand. Say amen, somebody. You feel like there's something pulling you back? It's a rope on you. You can only go so far. You go this way a little bit, and the rope pulls you back again. You can go over this way a little bit, and the rope pulls you back again until you just get made willing. And you just run the course. You tried every kind of direction. You went around in circles. You went all... Well, look at my life, Marge. You know what I was into. Huh? Sure, my whole family was ashamed of me at one time. Boys' schools and jails and a drunk and everything else. Huh? Well, God made me willing. But one thing about my family... Well, I have to say this. One thing about my family, they always loved me. Isn't that right? No matter what I got into... My family always loved me. I was always an Arnopolis. And I'm always going to belong to the kingdom of God, by the way. Always. And so are you. If you have Jesus as your personal Savior, there is no way that you can get out of the family of God. Oh, you might make it to heaven. Your rewards won't be much. Maybe you'll get there with diapers on and paper hat and smoking tennis shoes and one hair on your head. But you'll still make it to heaven. Say amen, somebody. God never lets anybody go once he's got him. You've got a rope on you. You hearing this? Have you tried to get away from God lately? You can't get away from him. No. No, he wants you, rotten as you are. Yeah. Don't you want your kid when they're rotten and their diapers are full? Nobody else wants you, but the parents want you. Right? Oh, here's your kid. Huh? And the mother takes him. Oh, baby, dirty, diapy, doopy, dirty, dirty, mommy. Oh, look at that nice little stool. Isn't that lovely? Right? This is a real good little stool, darling. Baby, I'm so happy for you. Don't you do that with your kid? Huh? Right? And stumble and fall and fall down and bump your head and make all kinds of mistakes. Whoopsie doozy, up you go again. Whoop, dirty diapers. Oh, what a dirty little mess here. Huh? And then pretty soon you got to get into toilet training. See? You put on Jesus Christ, but you grow into the image of Jesus Christ. You grow into that. And it's the same way with your natural growth. You grow into that. Some of us grow into monsters, but I'm talking about spiritual things now. And we grow into Jesus. How many heard his message tonight? Well, I'll tell you what. If you're not willing, you pray about it. And God will make you willing. And then you'll say, why did I pray that prayer? Now I'm doing the things I don't want to do. You know what I mean? The Bible tells us that. Things I used to do, I don't want to do. Now I'm reading the Bible. I never wanted to do that before. Now I'm preaching, I'm witnessing to people, and I used to say, oh, get away from me with these tracts and so on like that. Here I'm doing the same thing myself. God has made me willing. Isn't that weird? You ever go on the street and see people passing them out like that? We used to do it all the time. We'd take it, you know, and we'd look around and then throw it down. Huh? Sure. Then you'd look around, see if anybody's watching, go back and pick it up and take a look at it. Just like monkeys, you know what I mean? God has made you willing. Here you're out in the bread run out there, and you're talking to people out there, witnessing about Jesus Christ. Here you are in a hobo bus down there, and talking to all these guys down there, huh? What makes you want to be down there? Did you make yourself want to be down there? Self, you're going to go down there. You don't like it, you hate it, but you're going to go down there. No. God has made you willing to go down there. You find yourself in the bus again. Now it takes some kind of dedication to get in there 20 below zero, huh? and you find yourself driving down to the same spot below the bridge. Isn't that crazy? And sometimes you don't really want to go. But you're going down there anyway, and the thing is steering itself down there. I want to turn back, but you can't. Are you hearing this? God, I don't understand it, but I do know this, that God has made us willing. Hasn't He? God has made Dove willing. You've had your trials, but God has made you willing to stay together. And God has to make bodies willing to stay together. Say amen, somebody. And sometimes people leave. They do. They do because they just don't want to do that. Well, I'm not willing. They're not willing. What can you do with some money that's not willing? I don't want to. I don't want to. Well, they're not willing. See? Well, okay. Here's the door. There's the door. Don't let it hit you on the backside on the way out of here, but you're free to go. Does it sound kind of crude? It's the truth, isn't it? God has to make people willing to come down here, I'll tell you that. Now, you people that are in here tonight are willing to be here, you wouldn't be here. Say amen, somebody. But who made you that way? God did. I don't understand it. It's a puzzlement to me. Oh, don't try to understand everything about God. Don't try to understand, preacher, if you're listening to me right now, don't try to understand salvation. Just receive it. The minute you try to understand it, the minute you try to define unconditional love, you mess it up. Say amen, somebody. Is there anybody in here tonight that doesn't have Jesus as their personal Savior? And this vast audience in the balcony area, is there anybody up there? They don't know what's going on. Are you all saved back there? You aren't saved? You are saved. Are you saved back there? All three of you? Are you saved, sir? God made you willing to come here tonight. Right? You didn't want to come here tonight. Did you? No, I can tell that. But God made you willing to come, see? And listen to the nut, Pastor Paul, from Disciples Ministry Church Mission. Made you willing, see? You know what? You even halfway like me. Yeah, just halfway. But that's okay. I grow on you. That's true, though, ain't it? See, we have to put up with each other for a while, and then we kind of, God makes us willing to love one another. Where are you people from, anyway?
Golden Valley.
Golden Valley? Mm-hmm. Oh. All of you? All three of you?
That's right.
You're visiting. And then, what's the connection here?
That's my friend.
I thought so. Yeah, and then, a friend, where are you from?
I'm from Washington, North Minneapolis.
Oh, North Minneapolis. Well, we'll be seeing more of you, of course, because you're right in our area. Yeah, okay, good. And yeah, I got all kinds of work ready for you. I got work cut out for you here, and you just pray the Lord make you willing. We got everything here. We have a huge mission ministry. Have you ever seen us down here in action? It's a big mission ministry. And you're from the radio, aren't you? Do you listen on the radio?
No, I've been.
You've been here before. Who's in here from the radio? Somebody's in here from radio ministry. Okay. But anyway, we'll be seeing more of you people. You need to pray about being made willing down here, okay? And then God is going to put you to work. Because God is looking for willing people. And it's exciting. If you like to work with little people or older people, it's so exciting, I'm telling you. Every day my heart just, gets more dedicated to look at these people that come in, and the older people. That's like today, they're all standing in line. There must have been about 45 people waiting for groceries in one bunch, and they were all standing there, and they looked like they were invisible when they were standing. And you ever been down to a McDonald's and you feel like you're invisible? And Burger King, oh, I'm sorry. Oh, God, what a mess up. But anyway, you work at you're on the other side of the counter, and it looks like you're invisible. And they wait on. They say, "Can I help you? Can I help you? Huh? Like that?" And I said, "Do people feel like that? See, people need humor, and people need someone to love them, and people need somebody to say, gee, you got a nice hairdo, and people need somebody like that." And so I kind of get into these conversations with people. I say, "People, this is not Burger King. You're not invisible. We see you out there. It's just that we haven't got a lot of helpers. We don't have a lot of people. But people need that kind of thing." And little kids, you'd be surprised. You walk up to these little kids, and they got their mothers fix their hair up. And I don't know how they do this, but they got them little teeny braids that go all over in there, and they put the beads on them. And these little girls, they're women, but they're just little. You know what I mean? You say, "Oh, I just love that hairdo. I am impressed." And they go, huh? And this kind of action, see? And you know what? The parents just love it when you love their kids. See, there isn't a whole lot of love in this old world. There isn't a whole lot of love down here either. And so when somebody just takes the time to understand, and somebody takes the time to give a compliment, and somebody takes the time to give their life to a work, I wonder if people understand what that means, to give your life to gain it, to give your life to work. I mean, totally give it over. You know what? You're never happy until you totally give your life to Jesus Christ, and that's giving up, giving it all. That's giving your life. Well, what is your life? My life was alcohol and drugs and running and all this kind of thing, and I gave that. What really? What did I give up? I gave up my garbage can. Here, God, take all of me. And so he has to take you, dirty diapers and all, until you're potty trained, until you'll be able to walk by yourself, until that you're grown up into the image of Jesus Christ, and he takes you on that way. Isn't that wonderful? God, it's so much fun. Are you born again? You know you got Jesus in your heart? You don't know that for sure. Do you know? Let me tell you something. Let me pray with you, son. Just take my hand. And are you born again?
Yes.
Okay, well, let's pray together here, because this young man here, he's looking at me, but it says, "Woe be it to the preacher that doesn't preach the gospel of Jesus Christ." Now, if I don't do this, I'm found faulty. Okay? So just pray along with me and pray just like this and bow your head and say, "Dear Lord Jesus,
dear Lord Jesus,
I am a sinner.
Sinner.
Come into my heart,
and save me.
And now, Lord Jesus,
baptize and fill me
with God's Holy Spirit.
Give me wisdom and knowledge.
Peace, joy, and love.
And Lord,
a new language
to praise your holy name.
Praise God, I'm saved.
And filled
with God's Holy Spirit.
Amen.
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 God bless you. You got touched, didn't you? You got touched. He's a new kid. Well, listen, you know what? As soon as I got saved in California, and I was a rowdy, okay, 13, 14 years old, real rowdy. No. You know, I was a rowdy. And I left there and I said, you know what? I wasn't ready for that. And I came back and I found myself starting to change. You know what I mean? And it says that you're saved by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. You start giving that testimony out and, you know, God starts filling you. But it's a simple message like that. I mean, it sounds foolish, and it says people want foolishness, so God gave them the foolishness of the gospel. And even though it sounds foolish, they receive it. You received it tonight. I'm so glad you came tonight. You got a real neat mom here. She looks more like your sister, though, I'll have to say that. Okay. Is there anybody that's got a quick comment on tonight's message? Anybody for the radio audience? Something that might have touched you? So, all right there? Okay.
I have a testimony. When you were talking about we're chosen by God, when I was a child, before I even knew the Lord, I could tell that I was being drawn to that, and I taught Sunday school before I was saved. And he's always had a hold on me, and I've just known that I've always believed in him before I even knew him.
Yeah. Isn't that, you know, it's just, it's something you can't figure out.
I know.
But he's just there.
He's there.
I remember, when I was a little kid, and I says, "Okay, you guys, line up here. We're going to bury this bird here." And I got a little box, and I made a little cross and everything. I was about 7 years old. And then they started laughing. I says, "Don't laugh, because God's watching you." I didn't even know God. I didn't know nothing about it. But somehow I knew that. You know what I mean? And I was always drawn to God. I always felt the pull towards the Lord, you know. Okay, anybody else? Okay, where's our songstress?